Welcome to another edition of Park Talk Podcast, the official podcast of the Naperville Park District.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Park Talk Podcast. I am your host, Danny Rehm. When I was growing up, my whole life revolved around baseball. I'll never forget the countless hours spent playing every spring and summer. Through baseball, I made friends and learned valuable lessons on hard work and sportsmanship. At the Naperville Park District, baseball and softball continues to instill memories largely thanks to the volunteer coaches the Park District has. For this episode, I am joined by youth baseball coach Doug Diedrich and youth softball coach Brian Kelly to talk about the importance of good coaching and sportsmanship across Naperville Park District baseball and softball programs. Brian and Doug, thank you so much for coming in and joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for the invite.
Of course. You know, just to start, I'm just curious, how long have you guys been coaching in, you know, your respective programs?
I have a third grade daughter and a first grade son. I have coached from the beginning, or from when my daughter started pre-K soccer, and I have basically coached every sport for both of the kids since then. So soccer,
that's awesome.
Soccer, baseball, softball, basketball, and so it's been about, I guess that would be about 5 years, and probably about 25 different seasons activities.
You've done it all.
Yeah. Yep.
Similar to Doug, I have three kids. I have two twins, boy-girl twins, that are now 17, and they started playing t-ball back when they were five, so it's been about 12 years since I began coaching them. Also coached their basketball and helped out with coaching soccer. And I have a 12-year-old daughter who has been also playing those similar sports and just took up softball last year for her first season of sliders.
Awesome. So, you know, coaching for the Naperville Park District, and I mean, of course, we're talking about baseball and softball specifically, they're completely voluntary. So could you both go into more why you got involved in coaching and what the driving motivation was to give up your free time during the season to coach? Brian, do you want to start?
The driving motivation for me began with the unforgettable memories I have as a kid from the early years of playing t-ball, coach pitch, and Little League. Back when my dad used to coach me and my siblings. Since then, I've always wanted to do the same thing and coach my children someday. I've also had some great coaches along the way that have inspired me in key areas of life, taught me values that I carry with me to this day. And all of this left an imprint on me so much that it made me want to leave the same impact with my kids as I experienced. It all started with my dad, though, and having him as my coach through the years. Those were some of my finest childhood memories that really stand out for me. So once I started having kids, I had boy-girl twins out the gates, as I mentioned, and so once they were old enough to start playing t-ball, it was perfect to be able to coach them at the same time on the same team, being co-ed. Then once Little League started for my son, my daughter started playing softball, and I began coaching them separately until they both eventually went to travel. Now my twins are juniors at Naperville North playing softball and baseball, and I have my youngest daughter, who also wanted to start playing softball last year, and after one season, she is ready to try out for travel teams after this summer, after our final upcoming season of sliders together. So those are my motivations, and I find it easy to make time for something you're passionate about, truly enjoy, and when you know what it really means to them and these kids. It's incredibly rewarding, especially when you put your heart into it. These kids really respond well to that.
Absolutely. Doug?
Similar, very, very similar answer. Sports have always been an incredibly big part of my life. I started in t-ball when I was 4 years old, and just have played sports my entire life, and still am incredibly passionate about most of the major sports. When I was a child, my dad was very involved in coaching my baseball team specifically. He wasn't all that involved in some of the other sports, but baseball was always his passion, and had a big part in coaching coaching me. My mom also had a very big part in developing the joy of, you know, or the passion about sports. Some of my early memories are, you know, of her having to drag me off the t-ball field. Where I grew up, they had, it was all summer and in the morning, like almost like a camp or swim lessons. And, I just wanted to stay and play, you know, play another round, even though I wasn't part of the program. And, we had a big backyard, and my mom would get out and pitch to me, in batting practice, at 4, 5, 6 years old. And I was, so very passionate, specifically about baseball, but all sports. And, I knew when I was younger, in teenager college, that someday I would be a father, and, I couldn't wait, for that moment to get the opportunity to coach, my children, and, even beyond my kids, the other kids in the neighborhood, especially, in those formative years, between 4 and 10, when they're learning the sports and learning the lessons, it's just so much fun to see how much joy and pleasure they get out of it. And, I often consider myself, a big kid, I like being out there and, seeing them learn, but then, getting right in there with them, whether it be, baseball, soccer, basketball, whatever it is.
Absolutely. And you kind of touched on this already, but, the Park District offers T-ball programs for kids as early as pre-K. Doug, why do you think it's valuable to begin playing the sport at such a young age, and how does it set the child up for success as they continue to play?
I think, as early as a kid can start learning some of the basics and the rules of, of any sport, but, baseball, it can be pretty intricate with some of the different rules and just getting them out there and getting them started as early as possible. So they, they can develop the passion either for that or other sports. The youth are at that age, they're so moldable, they're learning, so much that they can learn. So it's great to be able to get to them when they know nothing, and teach them not only the rules of the game, but all of the good things that go along with the game, the sportsmanship and winning and losing and just learning all of those lessons that will translate not only within sports as they, continue to get older, but just in life as well.
Absolutely. So Brian, kind of turning it back to you, softball and baseball are very similar sports. They share the same structure, same goals and rules, but there are major differences that set them apart from each other. Having coached baseball and softball, is there an approach to coaching softball that's any different from coaching baseball?
This is actually a really difficult question to sum up. Other than teaching a completely different pitching form, the size of the ball and the field dimensions, slightly different strategies, my approach is very similar at the core at these levels fundamentally for both softball and baseball. However, you do have to remember girls and boys do operate differently, and they are motivated in slightly different ways. So I've noticed my approach is slightly different with the way I speak to them, honestly, and the same way you might speak to your daughter a little differently than you do your son in certain situations. They're wired differently. We all are. And identifying how each one is wired helps you connect with them and find ways to help them reach your potential. And that part applies to both softball and baseball. Each player can be a little different based on their level of experience, their level of passion for the sport, and how they're wired internally, and you just need to find out how to motivate and develop each one in order to grow as a team as well. Some kids need more praise than others, especially when they're first getting started with the sport, and it can be overwhelming with the number of skills they're trying to learn, all of the unique rules and strategies of softball and baseball compared to other sports. But at the core, they're the same. You just need to realize that every kid is different, but they all thrive on praise and a positive coaching style. Being a coach, you have to see the positive in everything, in every kid, in every situation, and keep reminding them over and over until they believe in themselves.
Definitely, yeah. We kind of touched on this a little bit, but sportsmanship. Throughout March and April, Naperville Park District, we promote good sportsmanship across all of our recreational programs. So could you both explain to me what good sportsmanship means to you as coaches and the importance of teaching good sportsmanship at a young age? Doug, I know you kind of touched on this already. Can you explain a little bit more?
You know, I think, you know, a lot of what Brian just, you know, mentioned with regard to, you know, the positivity and the praise and, you know, and even between boys and girls and softball and baseball, you know, the difference, you know, the differences there, you know, amongst individual teams, you know, I find, you know, that, you know, each individual responds differently. So, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, I want the kids to learn how to play the game right, no matter what sport it is. So, you know, using, you know, even when a mistake is made, or, you know, like, you know, in baseball, especially with, you know, young kids, you know, there are some boys who have a tendency to throw bats, and talking about that sort of thing, and how important it is to understand, you know, like what potential harm even something as simple as that could be. They see bat flips on TV and they try to emulate it, and you know, it's important to make sure you use those coachable moments. You know, I think it's also, you know, important, you know, even at the Naperville Park District and the T-ball program, and even into, you know, some of the coach pitch, you know, allowing everybody to get in at bats, and, you know, and, you know, everybody get an opportunity every inning. You know, that's great. The kids develop at different, you know, at different stages. So, you know, there are some kids that are very, you know, aware of the rules and what's going on, and are we going to win? Well, you know, that's not, you know, yes, you know, teaching winning and losing is a good thing, but there's an appropriate time for that as well.
Definitely.
You know, ultimately it's, you know, we want to have fun. We want to play the game right, and we want to respect our teammates, the coaches or umpires, and your teammates. So, you know, making sure that they understand all of that, and that we're you know, trying to follow instruction and making it fun for everybody, and you know, not letting anybody get lost in the you know, in the moments, or with their teammates, or with the opponents.
Absolutely. Brian, your thoughts?
Sure. So here's one way I like to look at it. If you remember playing your first board games as a kid, as an adult with your kids, and you know how many kids tend to cry when they first lose that first game, right? Some even want to quit after losing their first game. Well, we all grow up and learn at some point that losing is just part of the game, and it makes winning even sweeter. When you learn to lose gracefully and with class, you grow in ways that will mature you off the field. When you're on a team sport and you learn skills that apply to life, you learn them much sooner than you would if you're not playing on a team sport, whether it be situations with the family unit at home or with friends or with a work team. Eventually, you take those same lessons learned on the field and apply them immediately to situations you have at home, school, and anywhere you're interacting with others. Good sportsmanship also means being a graceful winner and showing class when you win a game, no matter how the other team was acting during the game. If you think about kids being put in these positions repeatedly on the field, it's conditioning them to learn such valuable lessons, and some lessons take longer for some to learn than others, and everyone is different. But if you learn these keys to life at a young age playing sports instead of learning them off the field and more serious situations of life, you get the luxury of learning them in probably the safest type of situation, when you're just out there having fun at the end of the day, win or lose.
Yeah, definitely. Cannot agree more. So how do you think these lessons of good sportsmanship, how do they benefit children long term? Even if they choose not to continue playing a sport in the future and they decide to do other sort of extracurriculars, how do you think learning how to be a good sport can benefit them?
I've had this conversation with my kids quite a bit just over the last, you know, the last 6 months to a year. You know, they're kind of getting into that age where they truly understand, you know, more about what's going on and understanding the rules and winning and losing. But we talk a lot about, you know, how we talk about in sports translates over to school and life, and how important it is to just try your best. Take the moment, no matter what you're doing. If you do your best and put your best effort in, you're going to be successful, and I'm going to be proud of you no matter what the outcome is. And, you know, we've talked about that with regard to, you know, some of the testing that they do in school, you know, and you know, and so, you know, those thoughts translate from, you know, the field over to, you know, everything else that they're going to do for the rest of their life. You know, put your best effort forward. You're going to make mistakes, you're going to fail, but how you recover from that is ultimately what's going to make you successful in life. Because we're not always going to win, we're not always going to get a hit, or you know, you're going to have an error, you're going to have an errant throw, but you know, learn from that, put your best foot forward, make every effort to do the best that you can, and in the end, you know, that's ultimately what's going to make you a successful, you know, human being, whether it be in athletics or you know, any other part of your life.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to add to that, you learn how important it is to stay positive and never quit. How to build up your teammates and encourage them when they fail. How to be graceful in winning and defeat, like we were saying. And if you just keep trying harder and working on mastering your craft, you're never out of any game or situation in life. Success begins with a person's will. It's all in a state of mind. Life's battle doesn't always go to the stronger, faster person, but the one who thinks he can. The sooner we all learn these things, the more we can accomplish in life.
Yeah, I mean, I remember how many times I struck out the entire game, but I still loved going back out there on the field. So baseball and softball has been a cultural staple in communities across the U.S., and baseball is commonly referred to as America's pastime. So how can coaching youth baseball and softball contribute to the legacy of both of these sports?
It's a good question. I know, you know, when I grew up, you know, my friends and I, baseball was the sport. You know, like, I mean, we'd find an empty field, you know, all summer. I mean, you know, like we lived The Sandlot, you know, the movie The Sandlot. And, you know, I think, you know, while it still is considered to be America's pastime, it's not quite as popular of a sport as it once was. And so, you know, like being able to contribute and try to get these kids out there to, you know, to realize, you know, like what a great game, you know, baseball and softball are, you know, it's really, you know, contributing to trying to get that, you know, the game back into a, you know, in a more, you know, positive and, you know, accepted or higher standing. So like, you know, I really, you know, baseball was always my number one. So like, I, you know, I'm really glad to be able to be a part of it and try to, you know, pass that along and get more, you know, more kids, interested in playing the game as, you know, for as much as I enjoyed it when I was a child.
Absolutely.
Yeah, as Doug was alluding to, coaching youth softball and baseball contributes to the legacy by keeping the sport alive in a generation of our current youth and by encouraging many of those that might not otherwise play the sport to give it a try. Many of the players on my teams I've coached, I've recruited from my daughter's or son's soccer and basketball teams, and most have not played softball or baseball before that point, and a lot of times, you know, come to find out they wouldn't have had they not been encouraged at some point by myself or one of the other coaches to play one of these sports. So coaching these youth can make or break the legacy of both sports through your approach as well. And some players may decide whether or not to continue to play the sport based on the experience you create for them. So it's important to always keep in mind that you're creating a positive coaching legacy for them and a positive experience for them. And always remember the level that you're coaching, because in the end, the legacy of the sport in their mind will be drawn from their experience during these special seasons we have together.
Definitely. And like I said before, some of my favorite memories from when I played baseball as a kid were because of my coaches, and now I still love the sport, still watch it as much as I can, and I think coaching really makes an impact because of that. Brian, we've talked about this before. This will be your final season coaching your kids. So could you just kind of share, you know, some of your favorite memories from coaching, and how do you encourage other parents to coach their kids?
Of course. Looking back, some of my favorite memories coaching have been watching my kids get their first hit in the game, making that first play, scoring their first run, pitching for the first time and notching that first strikeout, and getting that first win as a team and going out for ice cream afterwards with the team to celebrate that first big win and going out for ice cream just about after every win after that. The level of excitement and size of the smiles on their faces after that first win is just priceless. The reward of hard work and determination. From there, the process is just repeated every year, and eventually we celebrated some first home runs for my older two twins, Lily and Aiden. And for those, I ordered some of these clear display boxes and had them engraved with my first home run and the date and the ballpark name on them to put on their shelf.
Love that.
Gave them to them for Christmas, and it was the absolute coolest, right? we had one championship season in softball. We had one undefeated season in baseball. Rare. I never had one of those when I was a kid. We still talk about those seasons to this day and lots of other memories in between. Incredible memories start to finish. Wouldn't trade them for anything. So now, all right, let me just get a drink here. So now I have one last season with my youngest daughter, Kate, before she moves on to travel for trying out for travel this summer. And I'm going to look forward to making the absolute most of it. We have had an amazing first season together last year with some incredible comebacks, even got a few wins. And she had so much fun, and she's wanting to take it to the next level. But we're not done yet. I'm going to try and make this season as memorable as possible. I encourage other parents to coach your kids by letting them know how rewarding it is and how much the kids truly love it, whether it's being a coach or an assistant, helping out in the dugout when we have coaches on first and third and need someone to help keep them ready in the dugout in the batting order and or just keeping score. I encourage parents to be involved as their schedules allow, as these moments with your kids are ones they will always remember. They will thank you for years to come, and having you out there makes it way more special. Also, it's not hard. It's not as hard as you think. Teaching the fundamentals and how to have fun playing while learning the game is actually pretty easy. And there's so much material out there now with practice ideas and ways to coach proper form. Something I tell my teams often, just about every time I see them, is that I've been looking forward to this all day.
So that the truth?
It's a highlight of my day every time. And most of the time, it's the best part. So be a coach. You won't regret it.
Yeah, I think a big part of being a coach is really the passion behind it. And just hearing you talk about coaching your kids, I can tell that you have a lot of passion for spending time with your family and coaching the sport.
And it grows every year.
Definitely.
Every year that you're in,
absolutely,
it just grows and grows.
Yep.
So one last question to kind of leave us off on. What advice would both of you give to first-time volunteer coaches?
I think the couple of things are, the most important thing is just make it fun. Especially with the young kids, four, five, six, even into seven, my son's seven, he's now finally to the point where he is kind of starting to more understand the game, as opposed to just being out there. But, four, five, and six, it's just about making it fun, and I think the other big piece of advice that it took me a little while to learn is keep it simple, especially with the young kids, you're going to teach them, some of the real simple fundamentals. But I think when I started my first couple of seasons, I was all gung ho that they were, they were going to be major league all stars by the time they we got through the season. And, how quickly you realize that, most of them are just interested in what the snack is after the game, as opposed to, anything that's really going on. So, keep it simple, don't try to cram in too much. They're not going to remember where first base is, but help all that out. And, as you continue to grow, then you can continue to progress, in that. So, have fun and keep it simple.
Absolutely. And as the old saying goes, I like to say you'll get more sugar than with salt. You'll get more with sugar than salt. You want to build them up more than anything and build their confidence. Praise. Whenever they do something right, it begins with teaching them to love the sport first, as Doug was saying, and have fun playing while learning it and building on each little achievement with them one step at a time. And to play it the right way, as these moments apply to life so much more and can shape them in either positive or negative ways. Try not to be too serious or too negative or criticize too much, because you have to remember they're actually trying to do what you're trying to tell them to do. These are sports where they will fail more than they will succeed in situations like hitting, where even the pros, if you hit for a batting average of 300 over your career, you're likely a Hall of Famer, but that still means that you failed 70% of the time if you only hit 3 out of 10 pitches that you attempted. So something to keep in perspective, they all need encouragement every time they succeed. I also use something I learned a while back called the sandwich method, where you give them something positive before something negative, followed by another positive. Say they make an error on the field playing in a game, for example, and the inning's over and they're back in the dugout. You can tell her or him, hey, great hustle on that play. Great hustle on that play. You just needed to keep your glove down and watch the ball right into your glove, and you would have had that one. But don't worry about it. You'll get the next one. I believe in you. After an error, I like to tell my players, the most important play is the next one. So just forget about that last one. Next pitch, next play is always the most important one. Encouraging your teams to watch college and pro teams, like Doug was saying, on TV is also important, especially as they get older and can learn to emulate proper form at the highest level, and try to learn the rules and strategies of the game in order to be the best player they can be, and bring them to a game if you can. One of the best ways to learn from the best is simply watch. Another idea is use tennis balls. I buy them used for 25 cents at Played Against Sports. They're great for getting used to playing catch early on. I use them for pop fly drills quite a bit and for batting practice at all levels of my youth teams. Kids love to see how far they can hit a tennis ball, and it builds up their confidence. And it doesn't hurt when they get hit with one, so they won't have as much of a tendency to be afraid of the ball, playing catch, or bailing out when they're hitting and stuff. So it's a great learning tool to help build those fundamentals early on. I use them all the time for BP before games instead of wiffle balls. You don't have to worry about the wind as much as well. As Doug was saying, keep it fun. Any fun games you can incorporate into practices are some of the little things that they'll remember most, actually. Tennis ball home run derby was one of my favorites to squeeze in at the end. If you're pinched for time, everybody line up and you take your best swing and everyone gets one hit and see whose goes for the furthest. So try to make it fun and not too serious. It's just a game. In the end, the outcome of our children is infinitely more important than the outcome of any game they will ever play. Years down the road, it won't be the wins and losses that we remember, but the great times we had playing, being together, making friends, and learning more about life than we ever realized.
Well, sitting down with you two just for the past, 20, 30 minutes, I can just tell, the Park District has some amazing coaches. So thank you both, Brian and Doug, for joining me on today's episode. And thank you to everyone who listened to this edition of the Park Talk podcast. If you are interested in becoming a Naperville Park District volunteer youth coach, just visit napervilleparks.org and look for the coaches forms under the programs tab. And if you're itching for more Park Talk content, you can find all of our podcast episodes on Spotify, Apple Music, and SoundCloud, or at napervilleparks.org/podcast. As always, be sure to stay up to date on everything Naperville Park District by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or checking out our website at napervilleparks.org.
Thank you for listening. The Naperville Park District's mission is to provide park and recreation experiences that promote healthy lives, healthy minds, and a healthy community. Park Talk Podcast is a production of the Naperville Park District.